ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Krishna consciousness is not just meant for a few people. It's meant for every man, woman, child, cat, dog, bird, fish, every living creature. Everybody should know about Krishna. They're thinking it's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with everybody that they don't know. Maya mugdha jiva nahe Krishna shata gyan tatape Krishna kalilo bed pura. The people, they don't know that their life is meant to be with Krishna. Jivere kripai koilo Krishna bed pura. Therefore, Krishna in his incarnation of Vyasadeva has very kindly given the scriptures to inform people about Krishna. And Prabhupada has very kindly given us these scriptures so we can know about Krishna. So now Prabhupada's glory should be distributed everywhere. It means distribute Prabhupada's books everywhere. People will read these books and they'll become very grateful that Prabhupada has very kindly started this movement in the National Society for Krishna.
Prabhupada
has given us this wonderful transcendental knowledge by which our lives can be saved. And he's trained his disciples and he's sending them all over the world. And they're teaching us to do the same thing. Chant Hare Krishna. Make your life successful. Don't waste your human life.
Okay,
always think of Krishna. Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto. Become Krishna's devotee. Get ready to go back home, back to Godhead. So these are the gifts of a pure devotee. There have been many pure devotees, but no one did what Prabhupada did.
Thank
for we're all eternally grateful to him. All glories to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
Jai Hare Krishna.
Jai.
So, any questions? Mm. Any question about this class, first of all, before we go off into the world of unlimited questions? No?
He's asking, now people engage in this, all this levitation and all these sciences, subtle, and how to understand why they are doing this and what is this?
They're doing it because they're in Maya. They're thinking that something apart from Krishna consciousness will make them happy. It's all children's games. Just different fascinations for the mind. You can levitate, you can go to the moon, you can do so many different things. But if you don't surrender to Krishna, then you're simply wasting your life.
Good.
All right, any question? General question. Another question?
He wanted to give you a letter and then speak later.
All right.
You were speaking a lot about Srila Prabhupada. Can you say something about how you first met him?
I first met Srila Prabhupada probably in the same way that you all met him first, in the form of his books. Prabhupada is not different from his books. Prabhupada, once he was asked by one newspaper reporter, what will happen to you, to this movement, when you die? Prabhupada said, I will never die. I will live forever in my books, and you will utilize. So I met Prabhupada first of all in his books. Then I met Prabhupada in the form of his devotees, and they told me Prabhupada's instructions. So I next met Prabhupada in the form of his instructions. Then I also saw Srila Prabhupada when he first came, when he came to England. And I saw him several times, and still seeing. Seeing means you have to see spiritual person through the ear. You have to see through your ear. It means you can understand a saintly person by hearing him. Doesn't matter what he looks like. What he says, you have to understand. So, regularly reading Prabhupada's books, meditating on his instructions, meditating on how to give those instructions to others. This way, always with Prabhupada. He lives forever in his divine instructions and the follower lives with him. So as much as we follow, we're not separated. Yes, please.
Two sides of one question. You were speaking about that first one should as accept spiritual master, then one should take initiation, and then one should take instructions. And she's asking first, secondly, that is it that instructions and then accepting of spiritual master itself, what is the difference? And then,
well, as soon as you start to follow the instructions sincerely, that is initiation. And later, when you show your seriousness to follow those instructions over some period of time, then formal initiation may take place. But real initiation doesn't mean sitting in a ceremony. Real initiation means the decision to follow the instructions. So one of the instructions is that you should take formal initiation. So if you think, I'll just follow all the instructions and I won't bother to take any guru, that's also not following the instructions.
Yes.
So, and there's another question?
Yeah, second part of this question, she was asking also, She was saying that, it is in such an order that she was thinking that one should first accept instruction and then he was understanding that he should take initiation, but it is like a backward.
Ado shadha tata sadhu sangha. First, one has little faith, then he associates with devotees. So by associating with devotees, they tell you, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. Then, so you may do it in the beginning with little faith, but when you have the complete faith to dedicate yourself fully and follow the instructions, that means really to follow instructions of Guru. Even from the very beginning, when you walk in the door, you might start to do some service and follow some instructions. But actually, it's only when you make that commitment in your mind that you're fit to take instructions from a guru. Guru also doesn't have to waste his time trying to instruct people that don't want to follow. So when you're really ready to for that, when you're really fixed to follow the instructions, then you're ready for initiation. It's not just, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 6 months, so now I should get initiated. What else are you doing? Are you surrendering? Are you ready for this, that? Guru Mukha Paddavaka Chitete Kali Aika Ana Kali Homami Ashra. Are you doing this? Yeah. Whatever the instructions are, I fix up in my heart and nothing else. Yes.
Yeah. So you were saying about this example when this man, he was follower of Bhagavad Gita Saraswati, he was decided to jump from this.
No, he didn't make any decision.
No, I mean, I'm just saying in this way. I mean, he...
He was ready to.
Yeah, he was ready to. And then... He's asking, is it that we should in the same way act when we hear some instructions from the, from the authorities in this, for example, in this town, then, but we
what
can...
What do you mean, the local town president?
Yeah, something like
Does
this.
Does he ask you to jump from the Ural Mountains?
I mean, if we hear this instruction...
I mean, I hope the devotees aren't so badly behaved that the town president asks you to jump up the mountain. The absolute faith you have in Guru. Absolute faith you don't have to have in town president. You follow him because your Guru has asked you to. And, of course, he's been put in that position because he's understood he's a responsible person. And he's not likely to ask you to do anything wrong. And we should cooperate with temple authorities. Otherwise, it becomes impossible to organize anything. If all right, now someone has to wash the pots. Then, all right, let's hold an Ishtagosti. And we'll have a three-hour discussion to decide who will wash the pots. And we'll have big discussion and vote. And then when you vote, the person who's decided said, no, I don't agree. You can't organize anything. You can't. Yeah, there has to be some authority just to say, okay, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this. Doesn't mean the town president is the ultimate authority for your spiritual life. But he's a responsible devotee who's working under other authorities in our movement. Prabhupada set up a system, there's GPC, there's temple presidents. It's understood that different devotees are at different levels of advancement. Sometimes it may happen that the town president, he becomes a little bit lacking in discrimination. So if there's any serious problem, that can be brought up to the GBC. But a lot of time of the GBC members is wasted in useless complaints. Well, my temple president looked at me the wrong way. I don't like his tone of voice. He asked me to clean the pots. I didn't want to. No, really, I'm very serious. A lot of time of our senior devotees is wasted in useless things. In my time too. Better don't complain. Chan Hare Krishna. If there's any serious problem, of course, you should see. But if there's not, don't waste your time and everybody else's time. Yeah. Town president is working under spiritual authorities, so as long as he doesn't do anything which is seriously wrong, you just follow, that's all. And if he's actually a Rakshasa pretending to be a devotee, then Krishna will remove him, that's all. Any this man has questions?
How long you are a spiritual master?
I'm a student. Prabhupada asked some of his students to take responsibility for some of the younger students.
So how can I understand this point? First, it is said that one should not just blindly surrender to his guru. Mm-hmm. And then, on the other side, Srila Prabhupada was saying, I am blindly following my guru.
Therefore, then you have to take some time. You see, is this person actually devotee or not? When you're convinced that this person, if by surrendering to him, my life will be successful, then you surrender. And that's what's meant by don't blindly surrender. But surrender means surrender. So once you do it, once you surrender, then that's it. In other words, there's testing, you see, is this person really going to help me or not? But once you surrender, the testing is over. Then you are under test.
Is it that if a devotee surrenders to the spiritual master and seriously tries to develop Sri Krishna consciousness, then this way of serving is becoming really hard, and then we can understand that Guru is enough, like heavy, and he starts to heavily teach.
Yeah, if you have many difficulties, that is very good. There's many tests. You have to go through many struggles to get rid of all the bad things in the heart. And if you become complacent, then your Guru may be very kind to you by chastising. People are always asking for Guru's mercy. So Guru's mercy comes in the form of chastisement. It's a fact.
It's
not a joke. Because if the Guru just says, oh, you're very nice, you're so wonderful, then you think, yes, I'm so nice, I'm so wonderful. And all the anattas in my heart, they're also nice and wonderful. If the Guru says, you're a rascal, you're a fool, you think you're advanced, but you have so many anattas. So that is his mercy, to wake you up, to clean you up. That is mercy. Therefore, it's the duty of spiritual masters and fathers to chastise their disciples and sons. Even if there's no fault, he should still chastise, just to keep them in line. Prabhupada explained like that. Guru More Murkha Dekhi Karilo Shasham. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when I went to see my guru, he chastised me. His guru told him, you're a fool. He's God. But he accepted, yes, I'm a fool. How do I know I'm a fool? Because my guru said, you must be right. Some question here?
Can we say that all this religious confession which preach that one should try to come to God is also devotees, these members of this confession who preach that one should try to go to God is also devotees? Can we say that?
What are you talking about?
He's asking, can we say that all these religious confessions... Which,
what do you mean? What's that religious confession?
I mean some religions, like this, which preach like that one should go to God and something like this. That can we say that these people are devotees?
What do you mean? You're talking about Christians, Muslims? Devotee means one who follows the instruction of God. Just like someone may say, I'm a good citizen, but simply by saying it, he doesn't become a good citizen. He actually has to follow the law of the state. So one will be known as religious if he follows the laws of God, not simply by saying. So our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he accepted that anyone who approaches God sincerely, he is a devotee of God. It doesn't matter so much whether you say Christian, Muslim, whatever, but you actually have to see how much you've developed your love for God. But Srila Prabhupada was unhappy with many of the followers of the Christian religion, because he would always quote that in the Bible it said, thou shalt not kill. So he was upset that all the Christians, they're going on killing, killing, killing. First thing, thou shalt not kill, means you shouldn't eat meat. So Prabhupada wanted that Christians, they should stop eating meat and chant the names of God. If they like to chant the name of Jesus, that's also all right. We don't say you have to chant Krishna.
Your disciples, even though he may not have some certain qualities, he tried to take some responsibility on himself by his own desire. Is it that Guru helps this disciple?
Takes on by his own desire? Means that whatever he does, he should confirm that with the spiritual mind. And generally this was the process Prabhupada gave. Just like he gave initiation to people who are not qualified for initiation, with the idea that they should come up to the proper standard. So certainly if one is sincere, the Guru will help him. Any more questions? Matajis, any questions? No? All right.
Yep.
All right, we'll take off of it.
And then why people don't understand this saying, thou shall not kill, as it is supposed to be?
Well, we could make quite a long answer about that. One thing is that... historically, this has been much misrepresented. Just like in the Bible, it said that Jesus ate meat and he told others to go and eat meat. But if you study the language, you can find out that Jesus actually didn't say this. Jesus spoke in Aramaic, which was the local dialect of that area. And his father and mother were Essenes. That was a vegetarian sect. Vegetarian Jewish sect. So he spoke in Aramaic, and after quite some time, the New Testament was written in Greek. Now in Greek, the word for food is meat. This example, when I give in India, they can very easily understand it, because in every Indian language, the word for food is rice. So in any Indian language, if you ask someone, did they eat their meal? You ask them, did you eat rice? Because when you eat, you eat rice. You may eat other things with it, but rice must be there. So in Greek language, if you eat, it means you have to eat meat. So when they heard the stories of Jesus, Jesus said in Aramaic, "Give him food, or I have taken my food." So it became translated that Jesus said, "Give him meat. I have eaten my meat." And this got translated in Latin and so many other languages. So those are some historical reasons. Another reason is that God gives his instructions and man always tries to find some way to misinterpret them. We want the blessings of God without following the instructions of God. We pray to God for his mercy so that our life will be very nice, but we don't want to follow his instructions. This is half-chicken philosophy. It means one man, he had a chicken. He used to eat eggs. We don't eat eggs, but this man used to eat eggs. So he saw that every day I'm getting one egg from the backside of the chicken, which is very good. That's what he thinks. But I also have to feed every day the front side of the chicken, which costs me money. So I think I'll cut the chicken in half and keep the backside only. Then I'll have... But what happened was he had no eggs and no chicken. So people think, yes, it's very nice to believe in God, because then you can get all his blessings. He may or not be there, may or may not be God, but if he is there, there's no harm to pray to him. God, cure my backache. Help me get more money. That guy over the road, I hate him. Make him die. So we can pray to God. But all these things, following instructions, that's not very nice. So if you take one side of religion without taking all the aspects, what you end up is something which is not real religion. Real religion means to love God. That is the first commandment. One should love God with all his heart and all his soul. So actually, if you examine this Krishna conscious movement, what is our activities? All our activities are dedicated to God. So is this not Christianity? Is this not what Christ taught? Do you think Christ would like this movement or not? Where people are morning to night talking about God, serving him, chanting his name, like Jesus going out to preach his glories. Just like Jesus, people don't always understand. Sometimes they want to persecute. Just like Jesus, even though they persecuted, he went on preaching. So will Jesus be pleased with such a thing? Or will he be pleased with some empty rituals? Jesus Christ was interested in love of God. So where we find that love of God, we know that the blessings of Lord Jesus Christ are there. I'm quite sure that so many people say that Jesus Christ is coming. So I'm quite sure if Jesus Christ comes, he'll be very happy to join with the devotees of ISKCON. Because they're doing the same work as he was doing. Of course, he was a very great preacher, and we are very small creatures, but the intention is the same. This lady had a question.
What? She's a teacher from school, and she's asking, can you say something, how we can give to the people more, you know, preach to the people, to the children, love of God? Because, these heads of school, they forbid even to speak about this. Now it's forbidden.
Yes, well, if they forbid it, then you may not be able to do it. You may have to do it secretly. But you can always tell the children that you should love God, you should serve God, you should praise God. Is that forbidden also? Or only if you say Krishna, they'll forbid. If you say God, they'll object also.
So she says that even if you say about God, you know, so often, sometimes, the children, they say to the parents, and then parents to say to these heads of the state, and they say that, what is this? This is you speaking some not so important things, not about this thing you should teach. And then she says that we're really working somehow not so openly, and then she says we distribute prasadam.
That's good. Prasad is always good. Secret weapon. Give to the administrators also. You doing also?
Yeah. Last time she was doing this, she fed all these heads.
Yeah, this is very, very important, this prasad distribution. Very, very important. Because most people, they don't understand, they're not interested in philosophy. But nobody walks up to people on the street and gives them a nice sweet ball. If you do that, they'll never forget you. And even if they hear so much propaganda, they'll think, those people aren't so bad. And if they get prasad means it's not just any sweet ball, it's Krishna's mercy. So a very, very important program. Distribute prasad as much as possible.
You're saying about this distribute prasad, but this is mainly for the body, not for the soul. And if you just take prasad,
Well, that's what you think, sir. You don't know what prasad is. You go on taking prasad.
He says, I'm eating prasad and I know what is this.
You go on taking prasad. After some time, you'll understand what is the value of prasad.
But he says that if at the time of death, one will think about gulab jamun, Then he will not come to the spiritual world, he will go...
No, you'll get a position where you can eat more gulab
jamuns. Yes.
Well, if you're only eating Krishna Prasad gulab jamuns, that means next life you'll also eat Krishna Prasad gulab jamuns.
Yes, in this life or the spiritual world?
That depends upon your advancement. Anyway, whether gulab jamuns here and gulab jamuns there, it's all spiritual. If it's all offered to Krishna, it's all prasad. And even if you have to come back another lifetime, if you eat prasad all your life, then you won't have any more.
Life.
You won't have any more lives, yeah.
No,
so this proves that that Krishna consciousness is the best. Because even if you can't do anything else, you can eat your way back to Godhead. Even one dog went back to Godhead by taking prasad.
That's
this dog was... somehow or other, Shivananda Sen, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he liked that dog, and he used to give him prasad. And one day that dog, they forgot to feed him, and Shivananda Sen became very upset, and he fasted that day. He thought, I made a great offense, because this dog is a Vaishnav, must be a Vaishnav, otherwise why is he taking prasad? So that time Shivananda Sen was going with all the devotees to Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when they went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shivananda Sen was very surprised, because that dog who he was missing was sitting in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking prasad and throwing his remnants to the dog. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling him, chant Hare Krishna. And the dog was chanting Hare Krishna. How can a dog chant Hare Krishna? If you analyze scientifically, his vocal cords, his voice box is not fit for chanting Hare Krishna. But actually a dog can chant Hare Krishna, because if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him to, he can. So anyway, that next day the dog went missing again. They never saw him again, because he went to Vaikuntha by taking prasad. So we're also, at least dogs, cats. So Prabhupada gave us prasad. So we're all saved by Krishna's prasad.
There's, I think, two small questions about prasad.
You don't have to ask so many questions about prasad. You just take prasad and distribute prasad.
It is said that we if we cook prasad without love and devotion to Krishna, then he will not take.
No, then it's not prasad either.
And he says, is it that we eat in this time bhoga?
Yeah, God is not an eating machine. That you offer, you cook something... You say all the mantras, ding 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 ding. Okay, it's prasad. 3 minutes? Okay, finished. Okay, folks, let's enjoy. Now, Prabhupada explained that prasad means you bring something before Krishna and say, my dear Krishna, I'm very fallen and lowly and rotten. I'm not qualified to offer anything to you. Anyway, please accept it out of your mercy. Then Krishna will be pleased to accept. And cooking means we're thinking how Krishna will enjoy this. It's great meditation. That meditation is much better than the yogi's meditation in the jungle. Meditating how Krishna will be pleased.
He said that when we offer prasadam, we offer it
You offer bhog.
Yeah,
you don't offer prasad.
Yeah. When we offer bhog, and then we put the picture of our own spiritual master, and then is it practically this is can we understand that we offer to him this bhog, and then
you bring it to him, and he offers it to Krishna. You can't offer anything directly. He offers it to his spiritual master. This way, it goes up to Krishna. We don't offer anything directly. Yes.
He said that. I know that Haranda Kashaya Vishnu is lying in the milk ocean, and he is sleeping, and this sleep is eternal, and it is never started and never ended. And then how we can understand that this sleep is eternal, like he is not coming to sleep and then he is not awakening?
How can you understand God? How can we understand Mahavishnu anyway? That millions of universes go in and out of his body. When he breathes out, millions of universes come out of his body. And when he breathes in, they all go back in. And the millions and billions and trillions of years of the existence of the universe is his breathing period.